The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to October 2003.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor. I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Today we have a full panel as well as two very special guests with us. So let me introduce the regulars to you right now. Well, yeah, 2.5. You're right, but we'll get there. To my left from the Department of Philosophy, its esteemed chair, Beth Oljar.
Greetings, Kathy.
How's it going, Beth?
I'm all right.
Okay.
Glad you're chilling.
There you go. Good girl. All right. And sitting next to Beth, another chair, this time from the Department of History.
Less esteemed.
Well, no. And keeper archives. We've got to make sure you get all your props, Mr. Roy. That's Professor Roy Finkenbein.
Yo.
And sitting next to Professor Finkenbein, not a chair, but still a valuable piece of university furniture, is Professor Matt Mayo.
At least an ottoman.
Okay. And sitting next to Matt from the Department of Communication Studies, our man on media, it's Professor Jerry Kurtzinger.
I've successfully avoided being the chair of CST for one more year.
Took the hit for one more year.
What piece of furniture are you then?
Ah, geez, lazy boy recliner.
All right, excellent.
Yeah,
okay.
That's it.
And sitting next to Jerry from the pre-college engineering programs and someone who just ran a really successful tech day and deserves just like full applause for that, it's Professor Dan the Dapset Man. Miss you.
Thanks, everybody.
There was an expression on his face, which is really priceless.
Dan is like so tired he can barely move.
Dan's a hammock.
That's right. Right now, Dan could use a hammock. And sitting on the right side of the table from the Department of Mathematics and Director of Math Education Programs, it's Professor Jeff Boats.
Blame them all on me.
That's it. We can blame all that on you. Now, let me introduce our special guests. First, we have someone who's a returning panelist who remembers the days when they actually had coffee cups that said, Ask the Prof on them. Also from the Department of Mathematics, it's Professor John Dwyer.
Hi, all, and all you old-timers, glad to see you again.
Yes, indeed, and we are glad to have you with us. And sitting next to John, our special guest and a half, who is here, I think, to participate in Tech Day, sort of, kind of.
Or just be close to her husband.
That's it. There we go. Yes, expecting the new Mayoette of the millennium, it's Leslie Mayo.
Hello.
Hello, and we are so glad you could join us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And so the baby's just, what, a week overdue now, or...
Yes.
Yes, okay.
So I'm an overstuffed couch.
No, don't say that. No, don't
futon.
Say that. Well, this is a show where you can send us questions about furniture, pregnancies, mathematics, philosophy, all types of stuff. And how do you do that? You may email me or you may fax the professor at area code 313-993-1266. Or you can write them out in longhand and pop them in a postal box, and that would be care of the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, Post Office Box 19900, Detroit, Michigan, 48219. And when we left off last time, we were in the middle of a set of questions from the one, the only, the man, Bert Tilley.
Bert.
Okay. And these are interesting, and he also has a terribly interesting question for the panel as well. So here we go. He calls this...
We didn't do it, Bert.
No. When you hear the question, I know you're going to love it.
She's scaring us.
That's it. It's getting close to the favorite holiday of so many. If the first letter has to be a vowel and the second letter has to be a consonant, how many ways are there to arrange the first five letters of the alphabet?
105.
Mm-mm.
A little high.
No.
Again, first letter has to be a vowel.
Okay.
Yeah. Second letter has to be a consonant.
Okay.
How many ways are there to arrange the first five letters of the alphabet?
Oh, first five 36. Letters.
Yeah, five letters. Yeah.
36, right?
Yes, it is 36.
I apologize.
That's okay. Maybe I misread it the first time.
All answers to that question were provided by the math side of the table.
Okay, now do the formula. How did you figure that out, Jeff?
Well, there are two possibilities for the first letter.
Okay.
Three for the second,
mm-hmm.
and three factorial for the remaining three.
There you go. Now, Jerry will explain that to our listeners.
I can only give you the German interpretation. I'll defer to Professor Finkenbein.
There we go.
My colleague from Liberal Arts and Education.
Okay. Who taught herself to paint while recovering from a 1925 bus accident that eventually required 35 surgeries?
Frida Kahlo.
Yes. Did you see the film?
No.
Oh, okay. I just wondered if you might have.
No, she's very
interesting.
She's our
art man.
I offer an assignment in visual communication, and a lot of the students like to write about her. They think that they're the only ones that have discovered her.
Oh, of course, of course.
So it's, and I guess some interesting papers, but yeah. I'd like to see the film when I get a chance.
And we're very fortunate in Detroit to certainly have a great representation of the Rivera works.
Oh, that's it, the murals.
The murals at our DIA, indeed. So that's pretty nice. Which six-letter word with a French origin was first used in English in the 18th century and first used by doctors in 1930? It comes from the French word trier.
Triage.
Yes. Okay.
That's how I respond to emails.
By triage. That's a good way of putting it.
You throw them in the triage?
No. Well, yeah, which ones will blood not be seeping?
After the midterm exam, a lot of triage is needed after the midterm exam.
Yeah. Well, let me give you the question to the panel, and we can contemplate this. Professors, as a kid, what was your worst family vacation? Worst family vacation.
Oh, I'll start.
All right, Matt.
This is easy. We never took any vacations as a family when I was a child. Not a single one. I'm not even joking. We didn't go anywhere. So I had no bad ones. It was very nice.
Oh, okay.
No good ones either.
No, okay.
Like, ask why
about
or not.
No, there is no reason why. I think that my dad just thought it was a bother having three kids. We didn't go anywhere. We didn't, literally, did not. No Disney World, no Out West, no nowhere.
He's looking at me.
You never got dragged to, like, Gettysburg?
No, nothing.
Wow.
I'm not exaggerating.
For his kids.
Okay.
I'm not exaggerating. Oh, no, we're going to be going places.
Okay, excellent. You're going to take the little Mayoette places, I'm hoping. All right, excellent. Okay, Matt. All right. Who else has it?
Ditto, because my dad was a dairy farmer, and everything that we did had to be done between morning milking and evening milking.
That makes a short window of opportunity.
Or the cows would complain in major ways.
So. Yeah, oh, yeah, don't want that. Beth Ann.
I pretty much got sick on almost all family vacations we took, but probably the one to Lake Chelan where I had to make the emergency room trip because
bug
of bug bites was pretty bad.
Yeah,
and
that
I was
does
little,
sound pretty hideous. Yo, not
it
good.
Must have been right after my folks got married, so I was six, I guess.
Okay, not good. Yeah. Ooh.
It was bad.
This question is brought to you by the American Tourism Industry.
Or the American, and it's also the coldest lake in the universe, I swear. Lake Chelan in Washington is the coldest lake.
Explaining that depression is a shared family value, yes. Okay, Jeff.
I don't remember any bad family vacations, but maybe that's just because I'm blocking them out of my mind.
There you go.
I'll tell you, my family's idea of a vacation was to, rather than go to the mall in our town, go to Pittsburgh and go to the malls.
Okay.
Or Toronto malls.
And we got Greg Grabowski just rolling in here. Okay, anybody else? John, Leslie, do you have any?
Nope.
Dan, no family vacates? My first family vacation was always having to sit next to my sister Mary Ellen, who was perpetually carsick. That's all I ever remember about family vacations.
Oh, the snowball and new grape soda.
Yeah,
sir.
No, and it didn't matter what, how my mother
I did
tried to do
once,
that. It was just like, oh, man,
on the way
man,
to the family
really
visit
sucks.
To Kentucky every year, you know,
yeah.
Like that's a vacation.
Oh, my.
What about Dan?
No, I don't have any. We rarely took a vacation.
Appropriate someone else's.
Dan was too poor to have a childhood.
No. Dan had good ones that way.
Growing up in Erie, PA. We know how wild they are in Erie, PA.
Okay, that's right. It's just a vacation.
Jewel of the Northeast.
The jewel city of Lake Erie. That's right.
Ashtabula.
Or Youngstown.
Jeez, at least I got to go to Disneyland.
Youngstown makes me
Let's see, where were we here? Okay. Given the quotation, tell what American speech or document did this come from? Prudence, indeed, will dictate that government long established should not be changed for light and transient causes.
Declaration
of Independence.
Yes, there you go. And he said, now a salute to William Butler Yeats. I will give you, we just had a salute there. It wasn't polite, but it was a salute. I will give you the opening line of a Yeats poem, and you give me the title of that said work. I will arise now and go
forth.
There you go.
Out to the store.
It's what? A lake.
Go Erie.
Go Erie. It's the Lake Isle of Innisfree.
Oh.
That is no country for old men. That is no country for old men.
Oh, man.
Think of something people do on the Great Lakes in the summer.
Drone.
Sail.
Well, yes to both, but swim. More to yours, Matt. Sailing. Think of an ancient culture.
Egypt.
Is this Riding the Ancient Mariner?
Vikings.
It's sailing to Byzantium. That didn't work too well. I walk through the long schoolroom questioning.
What am I doing here?
Okay,
let's fess up. Has anybody in this group read Yeats?
I have, sadly. The moderator.
Okay, you answer him then.
Probably. That's his poem, Among School Children, which is really a very, very poignant poem, actually. I have met them at the close of day, coming with vivid faces from counter or desk amongst the 18th century houses.
Sure you have.
Easter 1916, I think we need a break from Yeats.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from October 2003, featuring the late Professor Kathy Bush as moderator. Matt Mile and the current panel of professors will return in July with more brand new episodes, so send us your questions today. It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I'm your host, Edwin DeWitt, and today we have almost all the regular panel with us. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Hey, man. Pleasure to be here, as always.
Wow. That's the first variation in decades, yeah. I think.
Oh, no, I've been working up to it.
Okay, all right.
First the mustache, then pleasure to be here. What's next?
Yes. And on
as
his,
always, as always.
On his right, the woman he can't keep his hands off in the Department of English, Professor Claire Crabtree.
What can I say to follow that up?
I don't know.
Hello.
Say it was okay.
Yeah.
There are people out there waiting to hear.
Was it good for you?
And on Claire's right, from the Department of History,
I don't know any of you.
Professor Sarah Gravel. And on Sarah's right, from the Department of English, also Professor Hugh Kulig.
Well, I will just say hello and leave it at that.
I think that's the wisest
You've done
thing.
Enough damage. It was because of you that we were whispering.
Oh.
These were quotations, and you were to guess who said them. Who said, "Never lend your car to anyone to whom you have given birth."
Irma Bombeck.
Yes, Irma Bombeck, exactly. Philip Roth is a good writer, but I wouldn't want to shake hands with him. Who said that?
Somebody after Portnoy's complaint.
Exactly. And who was it? It was a woman.
Figures it would be a woman.
A writer. A writer of schlock, basically, now deceased. One of her novels was just reproduced by a computer, or a new novel.
Somebody's writing in the style of. Yeah, you can call it style.
Exactly.
Well, she's not known to have shaken hands with anybody.
No.
And we're back with questions from Bert Tilley. Nowhere near as racy as those questions, though. My goodness. Do you remember moments like that with George at all? Were you on the panel when... Sure you were. You were on the panel with George, weren't you?
I was not on that one. I was on the panel that came before that. I go back a quarter of a century.
Okay.
Yeah, 1977 to 1983.
Okay.
Yeah. Ed DeWitt was on that panel. Claire Crabtree was on not on it yet.
Fred Hayes?
George Pickering was on it.
Okay. Bob O'Neill?
Bob O'Neill was on it, yeah.
Great guy.
Ernie Green.
Yo.
Yeah. Yes. We're talking about old timers here.
Well, you're not ready for a wheelchair yet, John. Come on. I don't think that old.
One thing I noticed about that, we had one moderator and three panelists. We now have, what, nine?
It just kind of worked out that way today.
I assume you got some tough questions and needed more panelists.
I think everybody showed today. And
I told him you were coming.
There you go. And that was the voice of Professor Eric Barnes, who just joined us. And Eric, you missed a question that everyone else got to have a good whine about.
And more screech questions?
No screech. No. Don't do that. This was on, do you remember a particularly bad family vacation ever with the family
when
Barnes?
When you were a kid.
How bad?
We got lost trying to find a small town in Georgia and ended up in a Ku Klux Klan rally. True story.
Oh, my
Nothing
God.
Happened, but yeah. So yeah,
yeah, that would be bad. I'm sorry, Greg. He wins. Okay. Greg had a really hideous one, but this was that is not good. Do you remember where in Georgia?
Oh no, not good. Ironically, I think the name of the city was Whitesburg.
No way.
I'm serious. Oh my God. Oh. I think it's Whitesburg.
You couldn't make that up. Yeah. No, that just would not work. We're in the middle of a set of questions from Bert Tilly, and I am going to read something, and then you tell the document from which it came.
And we got the first one.
You got the first one on the Declaration of Independence, so you're doing better on documents than Yates, okay? And where there is a band who so vauntingly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and country should leave us no more.
Temptations, Ball of Confusion.
I wish. That would be such a cool one.
Is that Tennyson?
People moving in. Yeah. Okay.
That's not Tennyson.
No, it isn't. This is actually a song that only people like high sopranos generally can sing well. No. Think of baseball games.
It's a later verse of the Star Spangled Banner.
It's the fourth verse of the Star Spangled Banner, yes.
And, of course, some of you saw in the Free Press the other day the revisiting of the 25-year-old controversy involving Jose Feliciano.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Let me fire, yes, indeed. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground.
Gettysburg Address.
That's right. Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if kids still have to memorize that.
No.
Oh.
I don't even know their middle names anymore.
They definitely don't know the professor's name.
For sure.
That is so true.
You have the all-time winning story on that, too, right. I think.
Trust me. I'm not happy to have that one.
No. But it's surprising how many students will enter the arts and education office with a paper, and they'll say, okay, now whose mailbox should I put this in? She teaches English.
Oh, yeah. That narrows it down. Yeah.
And can you tell me anything else? That's always...
Stay awake long enough to find out.
Yeah, we're now in week 6 of the semester. I kind of hope by now they might have, name to face.
Speaking of this midterm grade on the web thing, did anybody else find it a little disconcerting that the A-
absolutely
comes before the A?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And you can barely tell that it's the A-? Yeah. I had to call Chuck and say, What up with this?
Thank you. Yeah. I took out a magnifying glass because...
Chuck Dog, what up?
Yeah, right.
Dude, man.
I have to wait for the next round of glasses.
Because I was afraid I was giving students the wrong grade.
I know. At least it's a midterm. I thought if I make a mistake on a midterm, I don't feel so badly there. We whose name are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign lord, King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, king and defender of the faith.
Is this in the King James, the authorized Bible?
No, surprising. That's a really good guess.
I've heard that before.
Think of some early settlers and think of
makeup. Mayflower Complex.
There we go. Okay. Excellent. Yeah. Yes.
Good.
Which genus was named after an American veterinarian in 1914? Rod-shaped, gram-negative bacteria which can cause typhoid fever if eaten in large enough quantities.
Yo, Bio Boy.
Right, it's a genus of a bacteria.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, genus named after American veterinarian, 1914.
Salmonella.
What did I hear?
Salmonella.
It is salmonella.
Way to go, Eric. Yeah.
Hey, Eric.
Physiologist.
That's right. I was going to say, wait a minute, he's not a bacteriologist, are you?
Where's Jim Graves?
I was going to say, get Graves in here. He knows all about all that.
There's a small town I used to pass in Indiana with that name, and I'm thinking,
how can
you live in a town called Salmonella?
Whoa, that's sad.
It's right near the African Ebola. It's right near Ebola.
Ebola. Okay. Now that would be a bad family vacation. Salmonella and Ebola. That would not be good. What body part consists of 4 lobes? It's protected
liver.
By the ribs. Yes.
And
it's
that one's an easy one.
The largest gland inside the body, or so it says.
And some people larger than others.
Probably. Okay.
And more cirrhotic.
Okay. Whoops. There's the other side over here. Okay. Its narrator is writing a biography entitled The Day the World Ended. The narrator corresponds with 3 children of the biography's subject, a spinster named Angela, a midget named Newton, and Frank, who is an aide to the dictator of this place. Okay, name this novel by Kurt Vonnegut.
Where's Greg?
It's not Slaughterhouse 5.
not Slaughterhouse 5.
Is it Cat's Cradle?
It is. Cat's Cradle. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Her suitor offers to play along with the charade and complains of feeling dirty when she starts talking cute with a certain other male. Looking in the mirror all the time and being funny and cool with the lines doesn't seem to attract her, even if such actions are the way love's supposed to be. What is the title female's name of this Rick Springfield?
Jesse's Girl.
Jesse's Girl.
Oh, no. We hit home on this one.
One hit wonders.
I have a CD.
Do you? That's okay.
Rick Springfield's greatest hits, I gotta say.
This theory was formalized in the political treatise of Bucert, and in England it was defended personally by James I.
Divine right of kings.
That's right. The concept which equates revolution with heresy.
And then came Locke, thank God.
Yes. Yes, the blasting of it in Locke's first treatise on government.
Who used to run our sports medicine program.
That's right. Yeah. Doc Locke.
Who's down at Butler now in Indiana. Yes, he's down in Indian No Place, indeed. The final provision of this constitutional article was found to be violated as recently as 1961 in the case Torcaso versus Watkins. This article declares that the Constitution and treatises supersede all other laws. That's pretty interesting. And retains liability for debts and engagements incurred under the Articles of Confederation. Name this next-to-last article of the U.S. Constitution.
The.
Okay.
It's got to be A, N, or The. It's an article.
Well,
an article
I think he really means... No, it's not. No, it isn't.
Article.
It's Article 3 times 2.
Six.
Article 6.
That's
six.
Too much for me.
Yeah.
That new math.
Not on a Friday. Please, not on a Friday.
One other thing that interesting that article did was that it barred religious tests for office holders, which I think was pretty decent.
That's a good thing.
And about 60 years later, Massachusetts caught up with it.
Well, you know, it takes a little time.
The Supreme Court's going to hear the case about whether... The Supreme Court is hearing a case about whether the one nation under God violates the separation clause.
Change water to wine.
In the pledge.
How do you think the court's going to go on that?
Yeah. You mean we're two nations?
Yeah, we're two nations. That's right.
The fact that,
at least.
The fact that, I mean, I read this article that said that that was not part of the original pledge.
Not.
It was added like in 1954
yes,
to contrast us with godless
that.
Communism.
Same
that
time,
suggests that
the same time that in God we trust was added to our money.
That suggests that
it's
an establishment
Cold War
violation.
Related, so
I think
they've got an out on it. They can just cop back to it and say,
I just hope they want an out on it. That's my fear.
Exactly.
Like Scalia might come up with something like tradition is law.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the argument would have to be that it's ceremony.
Secular and secular goes.
Yeah, really. Yeah, that's just
a
little.
Am I the only person at the table who wishes the Supreme Court was deciding really important things versus that?
No,
they did.
Right. Not at all, well, Matt.
They decided Lawrence v. Texas. Thank God.
We just
God.
Can't talk about all of them.
Frankly, my attitude is I hope the Supreme Court never makes an important decision again.
Yeah, there we go.
Having blown the 2000 election.
Shot,
yes.
Indeed.
But they did advance
they
civil rights.
When's the last time they made one? Last time the Cubs won?
Well, there have been a lot of boners, but I think Florida did it in for me.
No. They won some ground back with Lawrence.
Lawrence v. Texas is going to be a real landmark case on privacy issues. It'll be interesting to see what the court can or can't do, indeed. This might be one for you, Mr. Jair. Okay. This is it was a masterful use of contemporary propaganda. Its title character looks directly into the camera while urging resistance to the Germans. Name this 1938 Sergei Eisenstein film that chronicled the Battle of the Ice in 1242.
I'm trying to think which one. Because I'm going through like October.
I was
going to
say no.
And strike. And,
Battle of the Ice in 1242.
Yeah, Battle on the Ice in 1242. This is an.
They played
ancient,
hockey in Michigan.
It was one
Michigan
of those ones
back
Eisenstein
then?
Reached way back in the Russian past to throw for the Great Patriotic War kind of bit.
I'm blanking on
Alexander Nevsky. Yeah.
Oh
well, don't
God.
You show them Potemkin, the famous?
Yes, I do. And I also tell them all about Kevin Costner and his lame little thing with Brian De Palma.
Oh, yes. And the Untouchables. Yeah, that is so weak.
Yeah.
But that's a good movie.
I'm blanking on it because Nevsky, nobody really, that's hard to find. And actually, I have that, but I haven't looked at it in years.
We had a wonderful Russian history professor here, a guy named George Simmons, who actually went out to Columbia and was working at the Avril Harriman Russian Studies Institute, and he insisted that we watch that film, and it was terrific.
Yeah, Strike is really...
Strike, he showed us that, and then Battleship Potemkin. Yeah, he went through the whole the whole wonderful, wonderful collection. I am sorry to say, ladies and gentlemen, that Bert beat our butts.
Smoked us.
Yes, he Bert. Smoked us.
You're the man, Bert.
Okay, so Bert, that means that you are a winner in more than just the game here. And
we got a piece of cake with your name
I
on it.
I wish we could send you a piece of delicious cake in that way. Yes, indeed. Okay, our next set of questions comes to us from Katie Goddard of Holden Hall. I know.
She walked it over, huh?
Isn't it? Oh, we are going to have to hold on to Katie's questions, but let me thank our panelists, Professor Grabowski, Professor Oljar,
bye.
Professor Finkenbein,
bye-bye.
Professor Mayo,
bye.
Professor Kurtzinger.
Oh,
yes, Professor Barnes.
Après moi, les déluges.
Oh, we're right, Professor Maggio.
I have no idea what he just
said.
Mrs. Professor Mayo. Professor Dwyer.
Kapha.
All right, and Professor Boats.
L'chaim.
All right, ask it Sightin' now. This.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I was in a Harmony House yesterday buying a CD, and the clerk, when they took my credit card, asked if I were the guy from Ask the Professor.
Did he give you a discount or a freebie? Or?
But he asked a lot about George.
Were you in Livonia? Yeah.
No, I wasn't in Livonia.
Mr. Magnet.
Our next set of questions comes from Kathra. Now, this is Ledesma. Is it Leedsma? Or Ledesma,
is
I don't
it
know.
From Grand Rapids? Rapids?
No, from Crowley, Texas. So wow. I don't know how it's know. Pronounced. I probably mangled it. Anyway. I have finally mustered up the courage and the questions to send to your program.
Good.
I've listened to you for many years and lost you when KHJ changed to K-Earth in Los Angeles. But the time I caught up with you again, Professors George and Sarah had become chairs.
And the rest of us are end tables.
Poor babies.
It's a function of age.
In 1995, I moved from Orange, California to Crowley, Texas. Thank goodness KRRW 97.9 FM has enough class to carry you all.
Hey.
You have helped this 50-year-old blind woman through a difficult adjustment period. Every Sunday night, I hop into bed, put on my earphones, and at midnight, giggle silently under the sheets.
Just don't get caught.
From the neighbors.
Time to get to work. I have chosen some questions on sports, ooh, to which I know all or some of you will know the answer.
Oh, no.
This is our worst.
Yeah,
since I can't tell the difference between an autograph and a photograph, it doesn't matter to me how many you got right or wrong.
We'll dig up a keychain.
We'll do something.
We'll find something.
God, we'll come and move your furniture.
Yes, I just wanted a chance to star on your show. If my answers are wrong, blame Reader's Digest.
We'll send you a couple of
you
chairs.
You come to Detroit, we'll put you
how
on the
nice
show.
Nice that somebody actually cares about
it. That's wonderful.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Briggs Building basement on the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor was produced and technically directed by Michael Jason, and we also want to say thank you to Liz Alexander and Joanna Carner. Our executive producer is Dr. Barbara Bowles, so until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Yankees!
We're back next week with another summer classic edition of Ask the Professor, so please plan to join us.